Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is a Monday now, the 29th of September. My God, the year is running away on us all together. I'm back refreshed and ready for action. Thank you, Dermot Whelan, for standing in the ditch for the last 2 weeks. And the dark, dark mornings are back and underway, and the evenings are diminishing, but it's storytelling weather from here on in. That's what we'll tell ourselves. How are tricks with you out there? The WhatsApp is open for business. For your messages north and south of the border, 087 032 32 32. And for your longer notions, the email is also in motion, oliver@rte.ie. Taras Jock, and sure, we'll get on with things. You know, you go away for a fortnight and so much has changed. When I was last here, there were only three candidates for president. 2 weeks on, there are three candidates for president. And the biggest story is about a blue handbag from a woman that's not even running for president. And also when I was last here, Jimmy Kimmel was broadcasting as normal on his Disney-owned channel. And now, with all the censorship going on, Jimmy Kimmel is broadcasting as normal on his station. Nothing stays the same for very long. But does much change, I ask you? Does much change? We've a very exciting return for you this morning. On this morning's show, Catherine Zappone. Remember Catherine Zappone? Of course you do. She had a remarkable ascent into politics, by all accounts. Had an amazing career. She was providing education for those in need alongside her late wife, Anne-Louise Gilligan, who sadly died while Catherine had reached the cabinet. But the big political record is kind of remembered for its controversies. "Hi, Leo from the Piglet" was the famous text message that came around her botched appointment as special envoy to the United Nations. This was 2021, and the party that she threw in the Merrion Hotel, which became kind of entertainment at a time when not much was happening amidst lockdown and so on, and made for an unforgettable summer of 4 years ago now, possibly, arguably, helped to end Simon Coveney's career eventually, because it was all very badly handled. And Catherine Zappone is going to address those controversies in detail for the first time as she joins us to talk about her new political memoir. It's the season for them. Love in a Time of Politics, which very much goes there. It is the cruelty of politics that you have this incredible career and they do lots of things together, Catherine and her wife. And it's an amazing story, as the title suggests, about love. So you won't want to miss our chat this morning. We'll go into it all. The text is also working for your comments on 51551. Now, golf is supposed to be a gentlemanly game for gents and ladies, and followed by gents and ladies. But the fans are mere barbarians, it looks like. And only the diehard golf fans would truly understand the whole idea of shouting for Europe against America at the Ryder Cup. There's one online meme, by the way, that kind of spoofs this whole idea, using John Milan's famous hurling cry for Waterford, except this one goes, "I loves me continent," where you kind of cheer on the continent of Europe. But I suppose our interest in this thing broadly comes from the presence of the two Irish players, Rory McIlroy and Shane Lowry, who are the centre of the world sports attention over the weekend. Shane Lowry, of course, gets all of the attention across the news sites this morning, being Ireland's favourite person called Lowry. Shane's the man. That's the Daily Telegraph across the water. Lowry joins the Ryder Cup immortals is the Examiner this morning. Lowry the saviour is the Irish Times. He is the hero after sinking the winner. Sinking, that's the term he used, isn't it? Yes. For the Euro team, especially sweet, given the astonishing abuse sent in the direction of the European players at this event, which was on Long Island in New York. And that is most of the headlines as well this morning. Unfortunately, the incredible abuse and chants from the crowd, which included body shaming towards Shane Lowry, even though he's actually a fit man, but idiots will tend to idiot, even while they're getting drunk on beers, that I read at the weekend cost $20 a cup. And it's a very expensive competition to get into before you find yourself faced with $19.50 before your tip for the drink. President Donald Trump was there on Friday, so naturally he's being blamed for the bad behaviour of the American fans. I'm not sure he made them rude. I think his main achievement in life is revealing this coarseness that has been at the heart of Elite USA. We just didn't know it until recent years. How bad was it? It was so bad, one of the official announcers at the competition had to resign because she, a comedian, Heather McMahon, obviously Irish origins there somewhere in the background, led an expletive-filled chant about Rory McIlroy. So she's there to rile up her own American fans and you're supposed to get them to cheer for your own side. Instead, she kind of joined the atmosphere, which was not to cheer for your own side, but to start swearing and blinding and shouting abuse at the other side. Even though, as I say, you know, these players don't... generally represent nations. It's continent versus continent. It's kind of a nice tradition, but it's become something else entirely in the last few years. Unsavoury incidents everywhere. So this Heather McMahon thought it was a good idea to get everyone to shout F you Rory every time Rory McIlroy appeared. We have edited, so it sounds odd, but this is the gist of it. So that was her starting the chant and they joined her and decided this is a great idea. This is part of sport, isn't it? F you, Rory. Rory, you suck. Justin Rose, he's the English player. He was greeted by cries of 1776 about the American independence movement. And also, you're lucky you don't speak German. Obviously, the old trope that the Americans won the war, not the Brits and so on, not altogether because they can't think as a collective. Obviously, also missing the point that many of these European golfers now live in the US and call it their home. And the abuse went on and on. The Telegraph's reporting that McIlroy suffered by far the worst for it. He shouted only once. He said this showed the extraordinary resilience. He shouted at fans who disturbed him every time he tried to hit, prepared to hit. And as he headed out for his singles duel with Scottie Scheffler, he was assailed on the first green by taunts about his marriage. Also, his wife, Erica Stoll, who was with him the whole way through the weekend, she had a terrible time. One fan slapped a beer from another's hand and that sent the cup towards Rory McIlroy. But the liquid ended up mostly all over Erica Stoll. She turned around horrified, walked away with her arms folded and McIlroy tried to comfort her. Is this truly what a Ryder Cup in the United States has come to? Ask the Telegraph as they're celebrating the fact that it's coming to Ireland in 2 years' time. But it really was incredible stuff. And in the context of all of that, Shane Lowry steps up. He's the hero and he silences the idiots who are attacking him.
Tell us all how you are feeling and where this moment ranks in your career.
I mean, I've been so lucky to experience amazing things in this game. That was the hardest couple of hours of my whole life, honestly. I just can't believe it. I can't believe that putt went in. I stood over it going, this is it. I said to Darren walking down 18, I said, I have a chance to do the coolest thing in my life here. And, like, the Ryder Cup means everything to me, honestly. I've won the Open in Ireland. It's amazing. It's a dream come true. But the Ryder Cup for me is everything. Like, and to do that there today in the 18th green in front of everyone, it's like, it was so hard out there.
Well, if you didn't understand the Ryder Cup, I think Shane Lowry has taught us all what it means. The coolest thing he's ever done, and he's even showing restraint there to do that. The hardest thing he's ever done in front of all those people and everything that was going on. Now, happily, the Americans were extraordinarily well behaved when they came to Ireland for the American football NFL game. They came to Croke Park yesterday. Of course, the government spent $10 million. And the event was great and went down really, really well. There was an incredible atmosphere in the city centre for anyone who was around at the weekend on Saturday. Remarkable to see and hear so many Americans everywhere so late in the tourist season and going around the place in their team Ganzies around Dublin. Did you know the Americans only wear their kind of team shirts only when there's a match? You know, not like the Irish thing where it's all year round and any job or any occasion you're at. They only wear it for game time, as they call it. But there was kind of amazing atmosphere because there were around the Shelbourne Hotel, which is one of the official places, you had this ring of steel, kind of private people with earpieces and guards who were everywhere. So unfortunately, the worst possible headlines that you could imagine are rumbling around the world. A player attacked and mugged in Temple Bar, which is probably the best police part of the city with all our fears about Dublin, yet not even an NFL player on a huge weekend, an important weekend as this, was safe. Skylar Thompson, He was briefly hospitalised with minor injuries after he was mugged while out socialising on Friday night. It's understood several men were involved in the assault. This was near Temple Bar in the capital. He was jumped and robbed with his phone reported stolen, and Thompson was taken to Dublin St James's Hospital by ambulance. He was discharged shortly afterwards. Didn't play the match because he's in the reserves due to an injury, and he's a Steelers player, and they said they were aware of the situation. But they had designated pubs as their official fan bases, the Steelers and the Vikings. That's the Minnesota Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they were set up in Temple Bar, and you'd imagine the security, which I presume it was very tight, but it's very embarrassing for the city, especially given the central policy of the state, which feels like it's to keep and ensure that Americans are happy at all costs. Nonetheless, the game day itself and the competition itself dominated. And here's a clip. You'll love this. Now, this is the NFL game commentators Joe Davis and Greg Olsen. They were live on Fox Sports across America. Remember, this is the biggest entertainment form of it across America there. And they're looking at a shot in the crowd of the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell. He's the big boss, and he's sitting there beside Bundy Aki and Caelan Doris. So they're talking and thinking about rugby. Michael Flatley is also there as well. So Joe Davis, the commentator, is describing coming across a rugby match on his way through Dublin this weekend.
Commissioner Goodell sitting with some Irish rugby players. By the way, walking through Trinity College yesterday, I just happened upon a rugby game. My jaw dropped watching these dudes pummel each other. No helmets, no pads.
Why don't you tell everybody what they told you they refer to American football as?
I don't think I can use that word. But yeah, they said it. I was like, okay, yeah, fair. Yeah, okay, watching fair. You guys do what you do.
Yes, sir.
This doesn't feel quite as tough.
Get in the game. I love those guys. I could listen to them for all of 30 seconds and then no more. So that was it. All the sport and magical stuff happening over the weekend. It was they're going to come back, apparently. They're already preparing for a sort of an annual jaunt to Croke Park around this time of the year. It's early in the season for them because, if you remember, the Super Bowl comes towards the end of January, sometimes into early February as well. Some bit of history for you this morning. At the weekend, there was a big anniversary. The 27th of September, 1825, reporters and onlookers from across England flocked to this little town of Darlington to witness a groundbreaking innovation in travel. Hundreds of paying customers squeezing into 20 wagons on the Stockton and Darlington Railway. It was a steam-powered train that went 40 kilometres down the tracks to Stockton, a short historic journey. It was the very first public passenger train, the beginning of modern railway, at the weekend 200 years ago. And it remains kind of a beautiful, romantic, slow-moving vintage way to travel. And there are famous railways around the world. I speak fondly as an interrailer. Oh, it's 2001, crisscrossed Europe, and I've exchanged the currencies. It feels like a million years ago now. Between Spain and France and everywhere, because it was just the year before the euro. Do we have beautiful railway? We're never advertised as beautiful railway lines in Ireland, but it's very nice. The one to Wexford is slow. If you're not rushing, it's lovely. Obviously, if you're commuting every day, it's probably a pain in the neck and so on. And you've the lovely train, of course, that goes north. And there's always a fondness that you're going somewhere romantic and nice and so on. It's also the time of year, as you're fondly remembering all these lovely train things, on mice and rats around the place and bird food. Bird food is a nice way to start. Basically, there's a drop in temperature at the moment because it feels very, very autumnal, earlier than usual, and the run of winter is upon us and so on. So Denise O'Donoghue, who's writing in the Examiner today, that's a good time to kind of put out some seeds for the wild birds who might struggle to find food in cold, hard ground if you get frost in some parts of the world. It's rarer and rarer as the years go on. But if you want to continue caring for birds and you want to prevent the rodents from gathering for the leftovers, there are a couple of things you can do. Never just randomly scatter seeds out in your lawn or the yard or whatever, because if you're tossing the seeds, basically you're going to attract that the mice will find it easy as well, and maybe even the rats. Use a dedicated bird table, elevate it off the ground, or hang the bird feeder instead. And if the food is hard to reach, the mice, you see, will be less likely to access, and they're not going to hang around waiting for more sustenance because they're going, there's no food here for us. Only feed during the daylight. Don't be doing it at night, basically. And Denise recommends that you clean up your bird trays because sometimes it all congeals and it sticks together with the rain and whatnot and the bits that the birds don't eat. Clean it up overnight. Don't put any of this stuff on the ground and put things out early. The earlier the better, because it'll be eaten up by the birds and there'll be nothing left for the mice who are nocturnal. seal your bins as well, wherever you're putting them. That'd be kind of a notion we all know about. But there are unsavoury ingredients you can put out to put off rats and mice. Birds are happy to eat lots of things, but there are some foods they enjoy that the mice hate. Certain seeds are less attractive to them. Safflower and Niger seeds, which are easy to get around the place, not appealing to mice, really enjoyed by the birds, compared to the sunflower and corn. Most common thing. Also the suet pellets, which you'll see in hardware shops as well, is a high energy food for birds this time of the year and not accessible for mice and rats. I would have thought the suet, which is kind of like fat, isn't it? It's a congealed fat. Some seasonings can also keep pests away. If you sprinkle cayenne pepper on the bird seed, that'll deter the mice. They don't like that. Or garlic cloves repel all sorts of rodents. The rats also hate capsicum, which is found in chilies, but is flavourless to birds. So you put chili flakes in, the rats will absolutely stay away, but the birds won't care a damn at all. And the rats also hate mint. So if you plant mint in the area, or if you even put a little, you can mix mint, can't you, with water. Some people think it keeps away the spiders, but it's very good for the rats. It's very attractive. I was reading a thing actually in the BBC only the other day. They've done the big in-depth feature worldwide, Ratmageddon and rats overrunning cities. And this is apparently cities in America and Britain where they've done research. They're finding a massive increase, as much as 20% in some cities, of rat activity because it's getting warmer and warmer. And the only thing that stops rats breeding is the cold weather. And we're getting less and less of that in the winter. And they're very good at breeding. Two adult rats can breed as many as 1,000 mice in a year. My God, they are kind of fascinating too. They're neophobic. So when you're trying to poison them, they kind of see, oh, this is new food I haven't seen before. This might make me unwell. So I'll just eat a little bit of it. I'll go about my business for the day. And if I feel a little bit of an upset tummy, I won't go back to that food. And therefore, they don't eat enough of it. That would kill them. And they're very, very smart. And they change their behaviour. They also love buildings and love what the humans have done to the world. Because we built more and more. They have more and more places to live. That's why the headline is Ratmageddon. But they are doing incredible research on what to do about reducing the amount of... You know what to do now. Shall I move on from this topic? 51551 is the text. Don't forget our rowers, of course, and the humongous victories over the weekend. There was a lot of sport at the weekend. Fiona Murta and the mixed double team of Max Mag. I love when it's mixed. Fintan McCarthy, who has all the medals in the world, and Mags Cremin together. Winning gold for Ireland at those World Rowing Championships. Thank you for that reminder, Helen. And someone is also on the bird food saying, use good quality bird food so there is minimal chaff and debris. Oh, that's a good point, says Kate, because it all falls out of the bird feeder and then you're left with lots of stuff. And I think the earlier the better, because if you notice you put the stuff out early, the little birds who like to jump along the bottom rather than fly up, like the dunnocks, I think is what you say, they clean up the debris, but don't do it too late. Nice, basically. Hot tip. Beautiful journey from Derry to Belfast. I've never done that one, actually. It's a nice drive, I know, which hugs the coastline for large parts, says Connor. How long is that journey, actually, Derry to Belfast? It goes through Coleraine, doesn't it, in a place like that. And I think it's very cheap as well. And they put them on for concerts, which every time I see it, you go to a concert in Belfast, you're going, why can't we do that down south? Don't worry about the Ryder Cup. The next tournament will be held in Limerick. So I'm certain the taunting will go up another level for our American friends. You see, we won't do that. That won't be happening at all. We're just really nice and perfect over here. Some of these moments where someone else is behaving badly. We're perfect all together. 51551 is the text. We're up and running.